Say it. I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I mean, see, Lance won't tell you that, and many people don't know this, but Lance, he used to be a gangbanger. And he drove this black lowered down Mustang with blacked out tinted windows, 15-inch woofers, and he used to bump Tupac all the time. He inwardly thought he was Tupac. He would ride around. He had this navy blue. Bandana on. He thought he was a Crip, never a Blood. Throwing up gang signs, thinking he was cool. Then he got saved, and so it is true. He's lying. Quit trying to quench the spirit, Pastor Lance. You know it's true. But then after he got saved, he kept his Mustang. And I'd gotten saved first, and he got saved. And I liked his car. I was just a country boy from Mississippi. I had a four-wheel drive truck with loud pipes and everything on it. And I started riding around with Lance, and we would show up to these early morning prayer meetings, waking all the neighbors up, because instead of bumping Tupac, we were bumping this worship music. Boom, boom, boom. We'd show up booming the worship music. Everybody was cussing us in the neighborhood. We were stirring up devils left and right. Hey, I don't have much time this afternoon. If you would open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, I would appreciate it. I really want to minister to you guys this morning. All jokes aside, it's a privilege to come and minister here in Clarksville. I love this city. I love this church. I love you guys, leadership team, Pastor Lance and Deanna, Pastor Richard and Shannon, Pastor Ron and Nancy, and just the whole team, all of the campus ministers, Heather and Vince, and there's my friend Emil. You know, it just brings my heart joy to see people that I actually led to Jesus that's still around here. It's a blessing, and I hope that that my ministry today can be a blessing to you guys. I have a special place in my heart for this town because of the military connection as well. I deeply respect every person that's connected to the United States military. I pray for you guys all the time, and it was also my privilege to help start our military outreach to Fort Campbell whenever I was here, and I want you guys to know that much love coming from the Lillis home to you guys. And so I want to minister the gospel to you guys this morning, hopefully in practical ways. As Pastor Lance said, we're in a series called The Secret. And what I want you guys to know this morning is that the secret really isn't a secret. The purpose of God is to make his secrets known to people. Amen? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're taking Old Testament characters and really looking at what was the fabric of their life that caused them to be successful in their walk with God, that caused them to do miracles on behalf of God. What caused their life to be above what maybe some of the others around them might have been. And to be frank with you guys this morning, unless you're a Bible scholar, you may have never heard the Old Testament character that I'm going to preach on this morning. But this guy, the words that he said and the prayer that he prayed actually probably come out of my mouth more than any Old Testament character's words anywhere in the whole Bible. And I want to let you guys in on this character whose name is Jabez this morning. Jabez, and I want to entitle my message, Lessons from Jabez, A Prayer That Changes Things. How many people believe that God can change things? We serve the God who can change things. And the reality this morning is, I don't know your current status. I don't know your current situation. But I do know this, excuse me, that God, when you get him involved in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your children, in your soul, in your mind, in your finances, wherever God is involved, things change. And so I'm here to help bring right now change to your life. That's the kind of minister I am. That's what I do. I know that some of you guys are going down a path in life that you wish would change. And this morning, we're going to look and have faith in the power of God's word and in the power of a prayer a man prayed that God likes to answer. And I firmly believe, because we've already seen it in the first two services, things are getting ready to change for your good and God's glory. Can I get an amen this morning? 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you had blessed me indeed, enlarged my territory, and that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Chronicles is the book of the Bible that you turn to if you're laying in your bed at night and you can't go to sleep. Honestly, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but the reality is the book of Chronicles is the chronicling of the names of the children of Israel, and it's not always the most exciting book to read. Names that most of which you just really can't pronounce. And you don't know why anybody would name their child that. But some people try to redo that, and I just don't know why. Until you come to 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, in the middle of the mundaneness of just names, there's this name, Jabez, that God mentions, and that the writer of the book of Chronicles has to stop and say, there's something about this man that my people need to know. Hence, I'm going to stop and let you know a prayer he prayed. I'm going to let you know through a few words the status of this man's existence that he didn't even choose, a prayer he prayed in faith, and what God did about that prayer, and the rest is history. I've been praying this prayer every day, quite honestly, for years, and I will never stop praying it. I'm not a superstitious guy. It isn't like this prayer is the good, you know, the lucky charm for God or anything like that. But when you pray God's word and God's will in faith, God likes it. He's a God of faith. Amen? He's a God that moves. He's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. And the reality is this. You can hear a great message and it profits you nothing if you don't believe the words that I say. So I'm going to encourage you, set your faith to believe the words that I'm about to say, because the words I'm about to say are the words of God Almighty. Jabez caused so much pain in his mother's womb and in labor and delivery that when he came out, the only word that could come to her mind was Jabez. And what that word means is he causes pain. Don't know if that child was breached. I don't know what happened. All I know is something terrible happened and it hurt and his mother named him Jabez. And many of you are thinking, well, what's the big deal, Pastor Brock? There's all kinds of names. I didn't even think about what the name of my child meant, as does most Americans. But what I got to let you know is that in Bible times, a naming of a child was a source. It was in essence a prophecy of what that child would produce in life. And so this woman cursed her son from birth. She said, the only thing this child will ever do is produce pain. Because he caused me so much pain, I'm going to name him pain so that all he'll ever do is cause pain. Imagine knowing what we know now that Jabez means he causes pain. What if you're walking down the streets of Jerusalem and you're trying to play it cool and every time somebody says your name, they say Jabez and it reaffirms you're a pain. All you'll ever do is cause pain. Guess what? Those words began to define his life. And let me say this morning, whether you like it or not, words have the power to define your existence. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a lie from the pit of hell. It really is a lie. Words or the lack thereof have the power to either bless or curse you. In Jabez's case, it was a curse. And so I want to talk about this concept of a curse for just a moment. Curses, spiritual curses, are very real things. Everybody look at me. I've got to help you. Spiritual curses are very real things, and they still exist. Just because we live in 2017 with iPhones and Siri and everything else that you can, and cool lights and all, doesn't mean that there aren't spiritual realities that were set in course thousands of years ago that still exist today. Spiritual curses are real things. And I just want to dive into this and let you know a few signs that you might be operating under a curse. And I want to ask you to be honest with God, honest with the Spirit, honest with yourself as I say these, because There is curse-breaking power in this room this morning. Can I get an amen? I have found that one of the first signs of a curse operating in your life is if you feel that there's a dark shadow over your life that you can't explain. No matter where you go, no matter who you're around, even if everybody else around you is happy and joyful and full of faith and excitement, even if you can try to fake it with your outward appearance, there you inside know there is a darkness around my life that I can't explain, and that everywhere I go, it follows me everywhere that I go. If that describes you, most likely you're operating under a level of a spiritual curse. If it feels like there's a lasso around you, like this invisible rope that's around your waist, and you try hard to step into a life of prosperity and blessing and happiness and joy, and it seems like you're running, and as soon as you're about to step into the greatest days of your life, right about the time that the breakthrough is about to come, it's like this invisible force just boom, pulls you back, rips the carpet right out from under you. That might be a sign that you're operating under a curse. Chronic and incurable illness that marks generations of your family line is a for sure sign of a generational curse in operation in your life. Maybe in your family line, at the age of, you name it, the women in your family, they seem like they're doing good. All of a sudden, cancer. All of a sudden, some kind of incurable, weird disease that's unexplained, and it happens generation after generation. Hear me right now. Hear this, preacher. If that is the case that you see in your family, more than likely, you're operating under a spiritual curse. Consistent premature deaths in your family is a sign of a spiritual curse. Habitual sin patterns in your life and in your family lineage that push you to do dark things even though it's the very thing you hate is a sign you're operating under a spiritual curse. For instance, maybe you're sitting in this room and you're a male, and it's and you experience your dad committing adultery on your mom, and you saw the pain that it brought her and the turmoil that it brought in your house, and you hated it and you vowed, I will never do that. But here you are, mid-20s, mid-30s, and the very thing you hated, you're pushed to do yourself. It's a sign of a spiritual curse operating in your life. Curses are very real, and the devil doesn't play fair. Jabez didn't ask to be named Jabez. His mother called him Jabez, and he had to live with it. But how many people know that the power of God to bless is greater than the power of any human to curse? That's what I'm here to tell you this morning. But listen to me. If you try to say, oh, curses don't exist, and I could never be cursed, I'm a Christian, then guess what? You'll stay in your curse. In order to break a curse, you have to acknowledge there is a curse. It's operating in my life, but I'm going to apply the power of the blood of Jesus to break that curse off my life. So Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2 says this: like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. Did y'all hear the words of the scripture? That there is no such thing as a curse without a cause. If you are operating under a spiritual curse, there's a cause behind it. It's there, and it was invited there either by you or through someone who had authority over you or who you gave authority to. I'm going to just give you a few common causes that I have found in walking with the Lord since the year 2000, common causes of a curse. Number one, false worship. False worship. Look at me, church. False worship will always open the door to your soul for the enemy to come and begin to wrangle around in your mind and curse your life. Well, you say, what do you mean by false worship? Here's what I mean. Worshiping or calling on any other God than the God of the Bible In other words, let me tell you, I don't talk to Mary, I talk to Jesus. Maybe you grew up and you grew up talking to Mary, praying to Mary, praying to saints. Hear me, that's false worship. God tells us, do not bow down and worship any other god or serve them. For the Lord your God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Listen to me and look at me, church, and I'm going to say this, whether it makes me popular or not, but if you have ever messed around with a Ouija board, tarot card, or a palm reader, you need to repent, because it's false worship and it taps you into false power of witchcraft, and there's a curse that comes with that every single time. Number two, dishonoring parents is the cause of a curse. God said in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, so that your days will be long on the earth, and so that it might go well with you. Everybody look at me. None of us had perfect parents. Some of us had no parents. Some of us had abusive parents. God didn't say, trust your parents if they're not trustworthy. He said, honor them. Honor your father and your mother, so that it might go well with you, and so that your days might be long on the earth. I will say this, and it's a very strong statement, but it's true as far as I know it. I've never seen it go well with a person who didn't honor their father and their mother. It just didn't go well with them. And so if you've got a mom or a dad issue this morning where you curse your father and your mother, we need to repent and let God's power come and change that part of our life so that we can walk in blessing. Can I get an amen this morning? The Bible tells us in Malachi 3 that another cause of a curse is robbing God. And, you know, I'm not the money preacher or anything like that. I'm just a Bible preacher. But let me tell you, I believe God's word. And that tithe, the first part of your increase, the Bible says that's God's. And when you don't bring it to the house of God, what you're doing is saying, God, I don't believe what your word says about my finances. I don't believe that there's spiritual power attached to my finances. And so I'll just send it wherever I want to send it, do with it whatever I want to do with it. Hear me. As soon as you do that, the Bible says you are cursed. With a curse. You say, well, Pastor, we live in the New Testament, and doesn't, how can I live under a curse? Hear me this morning. Grace doesn't make things easier. Jesus said, you've heard it was said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. I mean, that's what Jesus said. And so when it comes to money, what if we just said, you know what? I'm throwing out all that Old Testament stuff. I'm under grace. I'll just go commit adultery if I want to. Does that make sense? Not at all. Not at all. Hear me, guys. I want you blessed, and God wants you blessed. Robbing God brings a curse upon your life. I found fatherlessness brings a curse on your life. God, everybody look at me. Fathers have an important role in the lives of children, in the lives of a family. And where there's the lack of a father, there's lack of identity, and there's lack of definition, and there's lack of knowing who I am. And so you show me a person who didn't have dad around, I'll show you a person who will try as hard as they can, but they are left with this empty feeling of not being able to feel a part, feeling rejected, and boys are trying to make themselves men by listening to what the radio says or what Tupac had to say or whatever, instead of having a dad who's a man of God saying, son, you're a man, I love you, I define you, you don't have to go live worldly to be a man, you can live for God and be a man. You say, well, I can't help I didn't have a dad. You know what? I know you can't. Neither could a lot of people in this room who had broken father relationships, but I can tell you this, God is the father of the fatherless. Can I get an amen? God sent his son Jesus so that we could be adopted, and I'm here to apply to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell you, you don't have to stay cursed this morning. Finally, and lastly this morning, words have the power to curse. Negative words spoken over your life, over and over, can carry the power of a curse. We found out this afternoon, what are the signs of a curse? How did that curse come? Now let's break down the prayer of Jabez and find out, how do we break a curse? because Jabez prayed a prayer that changed everything. And here's just a couple of things that I want you to notice about this man named Jabez. If you'll look at the top of your Bible, it'll have this heading, Family of Judah. And so what we know from that is that Jabez was a part of this tribe called Judah. The word Judah means praise. So Jabez came from a praising family. He heard people praise God his whole life. In fact, he heard the stories of how God, whenever he got ready to take a city, he would always send in the tribe of Judah first before he would send in the warriors, because God wanted his praisers to go in, because where praises goes up, God likes to send his presence. I think God wants us to learn how to praise him this morning in Bethel. Can I get an amen? In fact, I found this. If you never send a praise out, you'll never come out. So why don't we just go ahead and send a praise out of Bethel right now? If God's been good to anybody, could we just open our mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. We got to be like Judah, amen? We got to be praisers. I found the one thing that the devil's most afraid of is somebody that'll praise God no matter what's going on in their life. You want to tell you how to get the devil off your back? Whenever he attacks you, every time he attacks you, just stop and begin to praise God and say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. I'm going to praise God. Let everything that has breath praise him. The devil will say, you know what, I'm going to stop messing with that person, because it seems like every time I mess with them, more praise comes out. And I found this, guys. You will never go further than your praise. And you will never go where your praise hasn't already been. Some of you are saying, well, this sounds sort of Pentecostal this morning. Well, you know what? It might be. It might be. Because here's what I found. I found the secret in my life is that whenever I know God's called me to do something, before I start doing it, I start praising God for it. I had this disease called rheumatoid arthritis whenever I lived in this city. It's incurable. They can't do anything for it. Typically, it cripples people. You know what I started to do? Long story short, I decided medicine can't help me, but I'm not going to let myself slip in despair. I'm about to get out every healing scripture I can find in this Bible, and I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And my wife and everybody thought I was crazy, but I would get out in my garage early in the morning, and I'd have church just about every day in my garage, and I'd say, Jesus, I thank you that with your stripes I'm healed. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their afflictions. With his stripes I'm healed. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And I was sitting here racked with pain, but praising Jesus that I was healed. You know what happened? One but about a year, I have been completely healed of that disease and hadn't had a symptom of it in over a decade. Come on, somebody, let's praise God. He's still in the healing business. But here's the deal. Sometimes you're not going to get your healing till you start praising God for it while you're still sick. Real faith is when you can praise God for what he said, even though you don't see it yet. Am I touching anybody this morning? Second thing you need to find out about this prayer is that in verse 10, the last sentence of verse 10 says this, so God granted him what he requested. So was it the will of God to answer this prayer? Come on, talk back. I'm the talk back preacher, okay? Was it the will of God to answer this prayer? Everybody say yes. So God granted him what he requested. Now, here's why I want to help you. If it was the will of God under the old covenant to answer a prayer, how much more is it the will of God to answer this prayer under a new and better covenant? If it was the will of God to answer this prayer of Jabez under an old covenant, how much more the blood-bought, redeemed children of the Most High God? I'm telling you this morning, this is the prayer that changes things. And God, it is the will of God to answer this prayer in your life. Let's break it down. Fourfold prayer that changes things. Jabez was cursed, but the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Why was he more honorable than his brothers? Everybody look at me. The reason why Jabez was called more honorable than his brothers is because he chose to believe God's power to bless is greater than the enemy or any other person's power to curse, and I'm going to believe God and not man. If you want to be more honorable than your brothers in Clarksville, Tennessee, or wherever you might be, start trusting God. Start calling on God. Start believing that God's power to bless is greater than any human's power to curse. Can I get an amen this morning? So he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And in essence, what he was saying is, Jesus, would you prosper me? In fact, I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to just pray this prayer to Jesus, and I want you to say it out loud with me. Say, Jesus, say it louder. Say, Jesus, prosper me. That's what Jabez was saying. I've been cursed my whole life, but I believe that your power can trump my mother's power to curse me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Notice he said, I want you to prosper me, and I don't want you to bless me a little bit. I want an indeed blessing. Come on, guys. We serve a good God. We serve a big God. We serve an amazing God. He's not into cursing people. He's into blessing people. But you know what? God's waiting on you to ask him. When's the last time you looked at God and said, God, bless me? Many times it's easy for us to say, oh, Lord, bless this person and bless grandma and them and, you know, bless this person at work. But we never pray, God, bless me. Can I tell you that life changes whenever you believe that God wants to bless you? Everybody look at me. God wants to bless you. You say, what does bless mean? Well, the word bless in the Bible comes from the Greek word Ashar. Remember, there was a Bible character named Asher. It was derived from the root of that word Ashar. And his mother named him Asher, and here's what it meant. Happy one. Ashar. Happy one. The word bless, by definition, means happy. Prosperous, successful, contented. Jabez prayed, oh, that you would ashar me. Oh, that you would make me happy. Oh, that you would prosper me. Oh, that you would satisfy me. Oh, that you would make me contented on the inside. And God granted his request. Can I tell you that God doesn't want you depressed, my friends? He wants you happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. God wants to put joy deep in your soul this morning. God is a God of blessing. He's a God that likes to prosper. He's not a small God. He's a big God. He does things big. He's into his people being blessed. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing, everybody say the blessing, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look, guys, in essence, here's what Paul's saying to the church at Galatia. Jesus Christ came into this cursed world. He never sinned, therefore he wasn't cursed. But on our behalf, as the Son of God, he went and hung on a tree. And here's what happened on the old rugged cross, Bethel Church in Clarksville. Jesus was cursed completely, even to the place of death. But on the third day, he was resurrected, and the Bible tells us, so that the blessing of Abraham might be on us. So at the cross was the great exchange. Jesus was cursed so that whenever I come through that cross in faith, I come out on the other side blessed and highly favored. Can I get an amen? You say, well, what does it have to do with Abraham? I could preach all day on the Abrahamic covenant, but I'll preach one verse to you. Genesis 24:1. It's another one I say every single day. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham. Read those last three words. Say them out loud again. In some things. Am I wrong? No. The Bible says, and the Lord had blessed Abraham. Where? Christ has redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might be on who? How many followers of Jesus are in this room at 12 o'clock this afternoon? Come on now. You know what that means? That means everything God promised Abraham way back in Genesis 12, guess who that belongs to? Guess who's an inheritance, an heir of those promises? Look at your neighbor and tell him, he's preaching to you. Yeah, there you go. He's preaching to you. I'm here to tell you that the way God blessed Abraham is the way you're supposed to be blessed if you follow Jesus. And my Bible tells me that Abraham was blessed in all things. So guess what? I'm going to walk around and say, I'm blessed in my mind. I'm blessed in my marriage. I'm blessed in my home. I'm blessed in my finances. I'm blessed in my soul. Every part of me is blessed. I don't know if you guys believe it or not, but hear me. I'm going to believe it and shout about it whether you like it or not. I'm believing to be blessed in all things. Amen. I'm going to raise blessed children. My church is going to be blessed. Has no other choice because that's all I'm going to say. Can I get an amen this morning? Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And guys, it's the will of God to ashar you, to make you happy, contented, and prosperous, because that's what he promised Abraham, and we're an heir according to the promises God made to Abraham through Jesus Christ, who's the seed of Abraham. Can I get an amen? Look at me. Don't settle for second best in this life. Only settle for the blessing of God. Secondly, Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and that you would enlarge my territory. The Bible says of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you can be a... Guys, look at me. If you're going to pray and believe in the prayer of Jabez, you can't live for yourself anymore. You can't live small anymore. Everybody look at me. We don't serve a small God. There's no person in this room with just small potential. It's a curse to believe anything less than what God says about you. And God's big. God said, let there be light, and there's still being light today. Scientists can't even keep up with how fast the universe is expanding, because that's the power of God, and that's the power that works in every person in this room. If you follow Jesus, and it's time to get in line with the purpose of God for your life, and the purpose of God for your life is for you to be used by God, blessed to be a blessing. How many people would say Fort Campbell needs a few blessed people walking around over there? How many people would say Clarksville, Tennessee needs some blessed people walking around talking about Jesus? How many people would say Austin P needs some blessed people walking around over there? Guess what? We ask God to bless us for the sheer purpose of that blessing's going to expand and explode out of my life everywhere that I go. And guess what? Everywhere you go. Everybody say it out loud with me. Say, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now, you just prayed a scary prayer. You hear me? I don't believe in superstition. I believe you just prayed to the same God that made the universe, and he answers prayer. So you know what just happened? You just released the power of God to go before you and prepare the way for you to be used by God when you leave this church. Somebody's going to come and say, hey, you know what? I've had this going on in my life, and I just feel like I need to talk to you about it. You're going to say, why are you going to talk to me? And then you're going to remember, oh, yeah, I prayed. Thanks, God. It ain't about you anymore. I don't know about you guys, but I want my life to matter in eternity. Whenever I stand before God in heaven, I thank God for the blessings of this life. And yes, I thank God for provision. But you know what the greatest blessing in this life will ever be? Is leading somebody else to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'll cast every crown at his feet, but thank God for the souls that I got to tell about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, churches don't grow by billboards. Churches grow by blessed people telling people that Jesus loves you, and Jesus saved you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus will break a curse off your life. That's how churches grow. That's how churches get blessed. Amen. Finally, as you stand up to your feet right now, Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me indeed Then he said, enlarge my territory, which means, God, let your purposes be fulfilled through my life. And then he said, that your hand would be with me. You know what the hand of the Lord represents? The hand of the Lord is equivalent to the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Lord. You know what Jabez was praying? Everybody look at me. Jabez was saying, Lord, if I don't have your presence, I don't want to go. I need your presence to touch me. I need your anointing on my life. I need your power. Guys, I just want to say to you right now, more than I need anything in this life, I need the hand of God. Look at me. Listen to this preacher right now. More than you need anything, you need the hand of God. I believe in this so much that every night, without even my children knowing it, whenever they're asleep, without fail, I go into their room, I put my hands on them, I apply the blood of Jesus, and I say, Lord, let your hand be on this child. Put your invisible hand on him to guide him, to guard him, to protect him. And then I raise up my hands early every morning. I said, Lord, I just pray today, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, meaning use me today, Jesus. And put your hand on me. Religion won't cut it no more, church. Showing up, playing religious games, clocking in your time sheet with God, that's not what we need. We need the anointing of the Spirit. Anybody in this church with me this morning that says, I need the hand of God. I need a fresh touch from Jesus in my life. I'm not okay with just dead religion anymore. I need a touch from God. I need to be awakened in my spirit. I need the touch of heaven on my life. I need the breath of God to come and fill my life. I'm not going to be okay with just being stagnant and dead and cold. And no, I'm not okay with just coming to put in my hour and get my little 3 points. No. I need a touch from heaven. I need God in my life. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Can we raise up our hands to God and just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Everybody in this room, welcome, Holy Spirit. You can put your hands down, but I do want you to bow your heads. You're in this place. Whenever I was describing those signs of a curse, it was like God tapping you on your shoulder. I said, I sent this preacher to talk to you today. You don't have to stay the same. You can change. You can change. Before a curse can be broken, it has to be recognized. You're in this place and you say, Pastor, I know that's me. There's a curse in operation on my life, and I need to change today. I need God to change me. Would you just raise up both hands right where you are? Go ahead, everybody that has a praise the name of Jesus. All over this place. Might be fatherlessness, might be reoccurring sin cycles. Maybe you said, I didn't know that witchcraft was wrong. Ouija boards and tarot cards and psychic readers and all that talking to saints and spirits was wrong. I didn't know about that. Well, guess what? God gives you grace right now. Thank you for acknowledging. Thank you for acknowledging. And now what I want you to do, if your hands are raised between you and Jesus, the Bible says a curse cannot alight without a cause. I first want to say this. If there's bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody, because Christ forgave you, would you forgive right now? Whatever it is, I don't have to do it. The Spirit does it. Whatever it is that's caused the curse in your life, would you repent right now? Would you apply the blood of Jesus? Everybody just pray this prayer out loud with me. Say, Jesus, I acknowledge today that your power to bless me is greater than the enemy's power to curse me. I repent of all sin I turn from all rebellion. I repent of false worship. I repent of not honoring mom and dad. And I come to you right now. I ask for mercy and grace. And I ask for your hand of blessing on my life this morning. I ask for your hand of blessing on my family this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I cover this congregation right now and I bless them. I speak life over them. I'm just going to be obedient to God and do this morning. Something happens when the hand of God comes on our life. The hand of God comes when we invite God to put his hand on us. But also the hand of God comes when we have hands laid on us. The laying on of hands is one of the six elementary principles of the Christian faith. And we're going to take a moment during this time of worship, maybe 5 or 6 more minutes. And if you're in this place and you need a fresh touch from God on your life, or you need a healing in your body, or you need a touch to break a curse off of your life, myself and Pastor Lance, we're going to lay hands for the next few moments. What I want to do right now, if you're here and you say, Pastor, you were talking to me and I need the touch of God on my life and family, and I would like the hand of God on my life, why don't you come on right now? We're going to lay hands on some people. If there's anybody in this place that needs a healing, that needs a touch, that needs God to lay his hand on your life or your marriage, we're gonna pray in this service, and we're going to believe God to do miracles right now. Come on, don't wait. Come on, I'm inviting you to come. You say, is there something special about the front of the church? Look at me. Absolutely not. God's everywhere. But what is special is whenever God tells you to move and you move. It's called faith. God will meet you where he speaks to you, and God will meet you where your faith is. I'm speaking to men and women. I'm speaking to soldiers. I'm speaking to wives. I'm speaking to grandmothers. If you need a touch from God or you need a miracle, God can do it in your life right now. And I'm going to boldly declare sicknesses are going to be healed at this altar right now in Jesus' name. I believe it in my spirit. Can everybody close your eyes and raise your hands up to God? And I want you to begin to communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Say, Jesus, I need you. Say, Jesus, I want you. Holy Spirit, I invite you. Fill every part of me. Awaken me afresh. Lay your hand on my life. Now, if you need a healing in your body, go ahead. Tell Jesus about it right now. Tell Jesus about it right now. Tell Jesus about it right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to come straight down the line and I'm going to lay my hands on you. And when I do, by faith and the power of this word, I believe that there's a transference of anointing that's going to come on your life. And I believe that you're going to get a touch from God in your life. Pastor Ron, would you sing, He's My Healer?
I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my I believe Jesus, you're all I need. You're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. I need you, Lord, I need you. Every hour, Jesus, I need you. I need you, 'cause you go with me, oh, with me all the way. Jesus, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour, Jesus, I've got to have you. I need you, Lord. I need you. You go with me. Oh, with me. All the way. So I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion.
Come on, let's sing this. Let's sing this.
I believe more than enough. Said, I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my. More than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You're more than enough for me.
Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible, God, for you. But we know the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Lord, you said you came to give life and life more abundantly. Lord, today, God, every one of these individuals standing down front, we're reaching out. Lord, we're taking hold of the life of God that you came to give. Lord, the promises, God. Thank you that your promises are yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we receive that and we say yes and amen to your great promises in Jesus' name. You know, Pastor Brock is going to pray one more prayer for us today, really to receive as a local church.
Everybody, just lift your hands to Christ right now. Pastor Ron, pray, sing that. I need.
I need.
This is the cry.
Oh, how I need thee.
Is that our cry?
Every hour and second and minute and hour, I need thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Jesus, you won't leave me or forsake me. You'll go with me. Sing, say you'll go with me all the way.
church in Rome. And he said, I pray that I might come to you so that I could impart to you some spiritual gift. Charis is the Greek word. I want to impart to you guys what I believe the gift that Jesus gave me is, and it's the gift of faith.
Yeah.
It's a gift. I take no glory for it. How do you take glory for a gift that was given to you? I don't want this for myself. I want it for people. I want to share it with you. And in the measure that you're able to, would you receive the impartation of this gift into your life right now? And I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to pray that the gift of faith will be released into the very atmosphere, vibe of this church. Meaning, I don't come to church just to come to church anymore. I come to church ready. I come to church with expectancy. I come to church believing the Bible, that where two or three people gather in the name of Jesus, there Jesus is. So to come with any other mentality, everybody look at me in my eyes, to come with any other mentality, sin. I don't come judging. I don't come looking at men. I come looking for God. Faith believes God despite people, period. How many people want to receive that gift?
Yes, Jesus.
Raise your hands for Jesus. God, by faith in your word, I release the gift of faith over this people right now. You told the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. You said all things are possible to him who believes. Right now, I pray for the gift of faith, Lord, to be released into every person with their hands raised. The gift of faith. If you struggle with a doubting spirit, just repent right now. It's okay. God's not mad. Just repent. You see the negative instead of the positive. You look at men more than God. That's where you'll get into the biggest sins. When you look to men more than God, that's where you'll get into the biggest sins. God, we trust in you. And I pray corporately over Bethel Community Church in Clarksville, the gift of faith, the spirit of faith, Lord. I bless this church. I declare blessing, blessing, blessing over this house. No curse can alight on this house, for it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to say this out of your mouth. Say, my church is blessed. Say it again. Say, my church is blessed. I will pray for my church. I will serve in my church. I will sow in my church. And my church is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's clap our hands and give the Lord a praise. Amen. Amen. I love you guys.